Good job. That boy's got it on him today. He's got it on him. Hallelujah. You know what? Let's do this. As everybody makes their way back into the sanctuary, you know, we're a Spirit-filled church, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt me to do things a little differently. We've been in a series, but because it's family service, I just had some things on my heart to share with you guys today, so we switched it up a little bit, and I just want to point out a couple of things. How many of you like the flower bed illustration that she used? That's in my notes today. So if you don't think that your kids can align with the Holy Spirit and hear from the Holy Ghost, it starts at a very young age. And if we begin to teach our children, we're a generational church. I mean, that worship was anointed, right? And it's because it's never too soon to start learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit and hear from the Holy Spirit, right? Because I don't know if you guys realize this, but the world is after our kids. The enemy is after our kids. And it will chew them up and spit them out unless we pass on what we believe and what we know about how to navigate the world in kingdom. If we don't pass that on to our kids, the devil will take them out. He will. Amen? And I know that's serious, and I usually start with a joke, but today is a pivotal, this is a moment where we all get to see the Holy Spirit is alive and well and working in the lives of our children, and we can trust and believe that if we teach them how to walk in godly ways, yeah, then the blessing that's on your life will be passed on to their life. Right? And so instead of generational curses, you get generational blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. I said all that to say this. Thank you for the introduction. It was an amazing introduction, and I'm very honored for it. But I think we need to give honor where honor is due. So Wally Schatz, would you please stand up? This is our youth pastor. If you're a parent in this place, you need to stand up on your feet and honor this man. We are so thankful and grateful for you and your wife and your family and what you've done to sow into the lives of our young people. It could not have happened without you. And everyone wants to say thank you. Let's hear it again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So again, last night and this morning, we have been in a series, and I switched gears because it's family service and there's something on my heart, and we have lots of young people, right? We ought to be able to teach our young people how to defend themselves against the world and the flesh and the devil when they go to school, when they're online, when they're by themselves. We need to be able to teach them, and it is supremely simple, but it is not simplistic. We need to put handles on the truth for them, and I might even help you. I might turn your marriage around today, right? We've talked about some of these things before, but Peter said, I will not neglect to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Didn't we say, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and accepting God's word, right? But your belief has to be formed, and then it has to be strengthened. Whatever you feed grows. So you can't say, oh, I know that. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody, hey, let me, oh, I know that. Well, you might know that, but you're not doing it. Right? So I got to remind you. So some of this for you will be a reminder, but for a lot of these younger people, they probably never heard this before. Because we talk about Christianity in theoretical terms and we make it all about sin. But I guarantee you, if you learn how to avoid sin, if I can give you steps, or if I can put in your hand how to take the steps to go up, you can avoid it altogether, right? The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. I was doing a hospital visit. I was with Becky and Mike, and we were doing a hospital visit. And the Holy Spirit said, we ought not to have to use our faith to overcome something that could have been avoided with wisdom. We ought not to have to use our faith to overcome something that could have been completely avoided by wisdom. Amen? So let's get into the scripture today. Now, we venerate the word of God here, And so would you stand up on your feet for the reading of the word? We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. I will read the verse and then I will call on you to respond. Ready? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or whether he is free. And you masters, do not do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also in heaven is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. This is the word of the Lord. And everybody said, praise be to God. You may be seated. All right. So that's a long portion of scripture, but I want you to notice something. As we read, notice he started with relationships. Parents and children. Employees and employers, slaves and masters, wives and husbands, right? He started with relationships and then he ended up talking about some sort of battle, right? And it got kind of vague. It was like, do this, don't do this, don't do that, which is what we're usually taught about what the Bible says. It's do's and don'ts. You young people need to understand that it's not do this or I'm not happy with you. Right. It's if you do this, you will succeed. If you don't do this, you will not succeed. God doesn't get, he's not mad at you. He's not going to punish you. Oh, that's it. You messed up. He is saying, you know what? If you drink Comet, you will vomit. It's not because I'm mad at you. It's because Comet makes you vomit. Are you with me? And so many times we'll get up here and we'll kick and we'll stomp and we give these kids an idea of God that's not really true. Are you with me? He gives us all the ways that we can live in harmony with one another and how we're supposed to live in blessing and harmony with one another. And then he stops and switches gears and says, hey, it's a battle. It's a fight. There's a fight. There's a battle going on. Right? So it's one thing for me to say, hey, get along with your mom and dad. Obey your mom and dad. Hey, obey your mom and dad. Right? That's hard sometimes. Sometimes you don't always want to do it, right? How do I obey my mom and dad? How do I get to a point where I understand, even if I disagree, that I should do what they say? How do I avoid going behind their backs and not doing what they say? How do I get along with my boss when he's a sniveling? How? There are no handles on that. I'm going to stop and put handles on this. This is why he brings up the warfare. It's an analogy. Right? It's an analogy. Our problem is we don't know where the battle is. Here's the thing. We have to do some things. We have to identify the battle. We have to identify our enemy. We have to identify what weapons we use. We have to identify the weapons he uses against us. And if we don't know all of that, then it's just a nice little saying, put on the whole armor of God, brother. How do I put on the armor of God? He says to be diligent about it. He says to be diligent, right? With all perseverance, with all prayer and perseverance, do this and stay after it with perseverance. And that's where my illustration comes in. Question, has anybody ever planted a flower bed? They don't happen automatically. Now, there are wild flowers that do grow, but amongst those wild flowers are weeds and bugs. In a flower bed, it's the flowers that you pick and the arrangement that you decide, and there are no bugs and there are no weeds, but it doesn't happen on its own. It doesn't happen on its own. You have to do something. If you want a flower bed, I don't have a green thumb, but I know this. If you want a flower bed, you got to pull up the grass. You got to till up the soil. You got to get all the rocks out of there. You got to plant the seed that you want. But then even after that, you got to water the plants and you got to pull the weeds. And if you don't consistently water the plants that you sowed, the seed that you sowed, you water that, the seed that you didn't sow is going to come. It's not a question of if weeds will grow. It's a question of when, right? So there's seed that you sowed. There's also seed that you don't want there, right? But if we don't understand where this battle is and what's going on and how we wage this battle from the bottom of that scripture so that we can look up at the top of that scripture and go, oh, my relationship with my kids are great. My relationship with my husband is great. My relationship with my boss is great. Or I'm walking in a godly way so that I'm giving God the opportunity to do what I can't do. You do what God tells you to do and you trust him with the consequences, and God will give you favor with people and open doors for you that no man can shut. He's your God. He's your source. So when you're at work, I don't know why I keep hitting on that. Somebody needs to hear that. When you're at work, you work as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Maybe I need to hear that. Maybe it's me. When you're at work, you work as unto the Lord, not as unto men. So it doesn't matter whether they're being dumb or not. You do your best because it's God who sees what you're doing. It's God who gave you the job. It's God who will keep you in the job. And if they'll either straighten up or he'll yank you out of there and give you something 10 times better. Are you with me? And it's the same way with your parents, kids. If your parents are acting up, but you stick with God and stay with God, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good, right? That it might be well with you. That's the thing. It'll be well with you. Are you with me? So where is this battle? What are we talking about, armor and battle? Why did he go to this analogy? Here's the issue. We don't know where the battle takes place, right? Remember, when we were reading the scripture, it said, we war not against flesh and blood. That means it's not the person that's the problem. Huh? Brother, your wife, she ain't the problem. Right? Sister, your husband, he ain't the problem. We got to find out where the real battle is. I'm going to use two scriptures to illustrate this to you. These scriptures are both about believers now. Watch this. In Hosea chapter 4, watch this now. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people, who? My people. Not the world. My people. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Right? Because they've rejected knowledge. I'll also reject you from being priests before me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. What does this mean? Doesn't that sound like God's mad, right? Mad, what's he saying? It's not that they didn't know. It's that he taught them and they rejected it. And because they rejected the knowledge he gave them to do well, they cannot do well. And they don't pass it on to their children to do well. Right? God's saying, my people, you're my people, but you perish because you don't lack knowledge because you've rejected the things that I've told you. And because you've rejected those things, the consequences are you're not going to have what I want for you to have, and your kids aren't going to have it either. I didn't write that. It's not God punishing you. It's him saying, my way is the best way. I know the way to live and move and breathe and be in this world and walk in blessing. I want to bless you. I want you to do well. Right? Didn't he say, he didn't say, obey your parents so that I'm happy with you. He said, if you obey your parents in the Lord, this is good, that it may be well with you, that you might live long on the earth. Enjoy a full and fruitful life. Every single one of you, even you adults in here, if you have any sort of maladjustedness in your life and in your family, it has to do with judgments that you made in your relationship with your parents when you were younger. And we ought to be careful. Listen, kids, you be careful about judging your parents because there's a little piece of them in you. And when you judge them, you automatically make agreements about, I won't be that. But if God chose that piece of them to put in you, God can redeem that. It might be something you don't like. But if God chose to put it in you, he's got a plan and a purpose for it. And it's a purpose to redeem it and make it what he created and redeemed it to be. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? I'm preaching to everybody today. Listen to me now. So there is a battle. We agree. There's a battle to be won. You have an enemy. But without the knowledge of how God said where we're supposed to fight, what we're supposed to do, we're walking around thinking, I don't cuss and don't chew and don't go with girls that do. And if I follow all the rules, everything will be just right. And then when we hit life, we get mad at God because I'm doing all the right things and I'm still got storms. And Jesus said the storms of life come to everybody. The difference is those that build their life on the rock of God's word. And so if we can teach you guys how to build your life day by day, moment by moment, on the rock of God's word, you'll be blessed. And blessed doesn't mean you never have problems. Blessed means the problems that take other families out make your family come together and stronger and overcome. Things that took other people out washed over you and you came out on top. Like a cork, you just keep popping to the top. Are you with me? Isaiah says it this way. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. See that again. Captivity, what does that mean? Bondage. If you're in bondage to something in your life, whether it's an addiction, whether it's an illness, if you're in bondage, someplace along the line, you don't have what the Bible says enough for you to be free from that. You don't know how to be free from it. Are you with me? So let's get into this thing now. I'm going to teach you. You ready? We're going to put handles on the truth. We have to identify the battle. Where does this battle take place? You're talking about all of this armor I'm supposed to put on. Where do I find the armor? Right? It's an analogy. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Watch this now. I beseech you. That word means beg. I beg you. I beg you, therefore. Now, we follow rules of biblical interpretation here. So when you see a therefore, and you kids that are reading, anytime you see therefore, the word therefore, you have to ask, why? What is it therefore? Therefore means because of this. He says, I beseech you because of this, brethren. So this is a continuation, right? So what Paul has done is he has spent Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11 explaining the gospel to these people. Explaining that it's by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He explains the gospel to them. He shows them the mercies of God. And then after he starts in verse 1 of chapter 12, he goes from the principle to the practical. And he says, I beg you, therefore, because of this, by the mercies of God. And then he tells us what to do. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then he puts a handle on it. Watch this. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Where's the battle? Right here. Where's this battle taking place? Right here. This is very clear. If you want to be transformed, that word transformed, it's metamorpho. We get our word metamorphosis from it. It's when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. He's saying all the world is caterpillars. If you're going to be a butterfly, you got to do something different. You got to go through a metamorphosis. You've got to change. And in order to do that, you got to do something. You've got to renew your mind. Now, that word renew is the word that we would use for remodel. Has anybody ever done any remodeling? Your wife says, I need that new sink. It's pretty. I love it. I'm sick of this old sink. What's the first thing you got to do if you're going to remodel? You got to tear some things out. It's the first thing. Don't be conformed to the world. There are worldly ways of thinking and behaving. The world doesn't know the best way. They don't know. God knows the best way. God's way is the best way. Right? So we have to tear out some of that thinking. And whatever you, listen to me, whatever you feed grows. And we'll get into it, but you've got to tear out some old ways or worldly ways of thinking so that you can put in the new stuff, the godly ways of thinking. And the Bible says that as you do that, when you do that, something happens to your life and you start to change from a caterpillar into a butterfly. You become a completely different creature, although you're still the same. Come on. Are you with me? There's a battle to be won, and it happens between your ears. It's renewing your mind. So, but again, just like what we were saying about the flower bed, it doesn't happen on its own. It doesn't happen on its own. You have to work at it. You have to stay consistent, right? So we renew our minds to the Word of God, right? Here's what I'm saying. Mind renewal is not a one-time thing. Mind renewal is a day-to-day activity where you are maintaining your thought life. Let me prove it to you. He says in Ephesians 6:13, right? He lists all the armor. He says, you know, the helmet of salvation, right? He says, take up the whole armor of God. All of it, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, right? So one thing you have to understand, guys, we don't fight for victory. We're under attack because we stand in victory. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. We stand in victory. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So we have to understand that our weapons are what? Our weapons are Bible-based beliefs, Bible knowledge. So this armor, what the Bible says about salvation, what the Bible says about righteousness, what the Bible says about the gospel, what the Bible says about the word and how it works. And it goes, and he goes on to say, up over all, carrying the shield of faith. Now, in the Greek, that can mean two different things. I think that it's a double entendre. It means both. It can mean more important than anything else, the shield of faith. Or it can mean out, above, and over everything else. But in either case, what's being communicated, it is your first line of defense. It's your first line of defense. What is a shield of faith? Well, what is faith? Those of you that have been here for a while, what is faith? Faith is a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based on what you believe. Or a conviction based on what you have heard. It's just what you believe. It's simply, your shield of faith is somebody comes up. Let me show you. I'm going to give you practical. I got kids on the front row. Jonah, somebody comes up at school and they say, here, you know, that girl likes you. You should probably go and do something with her. And your shield of faith pops up and says, the Bible says, no, so I ain't gonna do that. See the shield of faith come up? Everybody has a shield of faith. Everybody has one, and it always works. but it's built out of what they believe. Are you with me? We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of it. I've got time. But I need you to understand that shield of faith is your first line of defense, and it's built out of what you believe. And if your shield of faith is built out of Bible knowledge, what the Bible says about salvation, what the Bible says about healing, what the Bible says about relationships, what God's word says, what God's instructions are, right? You build your faith shield out of that, and then you're in a much better place when you go to the movies and you're watching a movie that those little things don't get in your head. And we're going to get into that here in a minute. But I just want you to know, our weapons, remember I said we identify the battle. Where's the battle? Right here. Our weapons, Bible knowledge. Didn't it say, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge or because they've rejected knowledge? And if they do that, then they are brought into captivity. They're brought into bondage to things. So wouldn't the opposite be true? If you walk in Bible knowledge, if you use your shield of faith, you don't perish and you don't go into captivity. You live and you overcome. Amen? So what is the enemy's weapons then? I'm going to prove this out to you guys. I'm going to use some stories, and I've got to go a little quickly. I don't think I'm going to read all of them, but I'm just going to refer to them, okay? In Ephesians 6:11, it says the fiery darts of the wicked one. So in my mind, if anybody has watched Lord of the Rings or anything like that, Game of Thrones or whatever those battle things are, they always start, what's the first line of defense? They're rushing in. What's the enemy's first attack? Arrows. Flaming arrows. Fiery darts. That's what it means in the Greek. Flaming arrows. And again, that's an analogy. What are the flaming arrows? If we know that our armor is built out of Bible knowledge, then what are the flaming arrows? Guys, the enemy is the same. He has not changed. It's a little thought. It's a little idea. It's a little suggestion. Let me prove it to you. All the way back in the beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, right? We call this a precedent-setting event. Anytime something sets precedent, like in court, it's the first time that something happens, and it serves as a standard of every other time it happens. This is how it works. This is how we operate. I'm going to prove it to you. Starting with Adam and Eve, the enemy showed up and he said, did God really say? No. Did God really say you shouldn't have sex before marriage? No. Did God really say you shouldn't do drugs? No. Right? Always, what does he attack first? What God said. It's the number one attack. What God said. Why? Because that's where your salvation comes from. That's where your weapons come from. Right? Well, that doesn't seem right. Right? And the Bible does say, in Proverbs, it says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of that way is destruction. Are you with me? So it's just this little idea, this little thought, this little suggestion. Right? What does that look like in marriage? Man, she's always doing that. Always. Never satisfied. Dang, come on. Wait, stop, back up. Does the Bible say that? What's the Bible say? That a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So, is she happy? Oh, yeah, but brother, see what I'm saying? See how easy it is? Just that little thought, that little spark. And if you don't quench it with your faith shield, what happens to a little spark on the ground if you don't quench it? It goes from a little thought that you can put out relatively quickly to a burning fire that you need help putting out. And a lot of us are harboring those ideas about our spouses, about our family, about our friends, our loved ones, our bosses. We're harboring those ideas, and it's not a spark anymore. It's a raging fire in your brain on the inside of you. And every time you have that same fight, every time that issue comes up, every time you wonder, I don't know why I get so mad about that, because you got a raging fire on the inside of you that you didn't squash when it was a little thing. So now what do? You pour the water of the word over that thing. You got to get into the word and get into the word and quench that sucker. Are you with me? Amen. So that's my first piece of evidence. The enemy in the garden, a little thought, a little idea, a little suggestion, right? What about I've got lots of them, right? I'll give you, let's see, Jesus, right? Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. How did he tempt Jesus? With, if you are the Son of God, I mean, you can, a little thought, a little idea, a little suggestion. I find it really interesting how Jesus beat Satan wasn't by calling down angels from heaven, striking him down with lightning, blowing him away. He said, it is written. He had his faith shield. It is written. It is written. And then the devil tried to pull one on him. This is why it's so important that you know your word, because the devil said, yeah, well, the Bible says this too. And Jesus said, yeah, that's true, but it also says this. Right? That's why in Timothy, it tells you young people, be a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, able to rightly divide the word of truth. You can rightly divide it, you can wrongly divide it. Right? And not everything in the Bible is described, but not everything is prescribed. So sometimes the Bible will tell you, look at what happened, but it doesn't prescribe that. It's not a prescription for you to live your life. It's an error for you to avoid. Are you with me? Well, Abraham had a bunch of wives. Yeah, and look at how that worked out for him. And look at what Jesus said about it. He said, yeah, from the beginning, it wasn't that way. God had to wink at him a little bit. You know what I mean? Which just goes to show you, if you step out of line, God's not just going to step in and squash you down. But the consequences of your actions, you will reap what you sow if you don't repent. Eventually, you'll reap that crop. That's the crazy thing about repentance, is when you repent, it's like you, a lot of times, it's a failed crop. The seeds just don't grow because you repented. So you're not feeding it, you're not watering it, so nothing comes of it. Whatever you feed grows, right? So you got the enemy in the garden. You got the enemy in the wilderness with Jesus. Look at Judas. Didn't the one person, can we all just say Jesus was a perfect leader, right? He didn't make any mistakes. He was a perfect leader, perfect boss. Didn't make any mistakes. He was Jesus. But Judas betrayed him. How did Judas betray him? Didn't Jesus say, go and do what Satan has put in your heart to do? The whole time, a little thought, a little idea, a little suggestion. Right? Judas was a zealot. Judas was trying to force Jesus to conquer naturally now. And he manipulated situations and stole, and his heart was corrupted because he was listening to the enemy. And then Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, it's the same thing. Peter said, why did Satan put it into your heart to do this? Are you with me? This is why we call it a train of thought. The mind is the battlefield. You call it a train of thought. Anybody ever go to get on, anybody been to a big city or been to, you can even use a bus as an example, but if you get on a train, there's a sign on the front of that train that tells you where it's going. If you don't want to go there, don't get on the train. But if you get on that train, guess where you're going? Right? So if you got a little thought that pops up, gentlemen can all understand this, you get a little thought that pops up, I wonder what she looks like. Don't get on that train. No. Faith shield, doesn't matter what she looks like. Ain't none of my business what she looks like. Are you with me? Well, just one more time. No more times. None. Done. Said I was done? I'm done. Are you with me? But if you get on the train, guess where you're going? Going where the train's going. Right? And here's the crazy thing. Once you get on it and it starts moving, it's a lot harder to get off a moving train than it is to not get on it in the first place. Amen? This is why we call it a train of thought, because it'll take you someplace you don't want to go. So just don't get on it. And I love what Martin Luther said about this, because you might think, well, that's easier for you to say. Well, it's because you're not used to, it's like that garden. You're not used to maintaining your thought life. So you just think whatever pops into your head all the time. You're not used to it. You have to be diligent to learn to examine every thought and bring it into obedience to what God's word says. And then you have to submit to God's word when you disagree with God's word. And there will be times that you do not like what the Bible says. What you want to do is knock him right on his rear end. And what the Bible says to do is turn the other cheek in that situation. Right? You don't always turn the other cheek. Jesus didn't always turn the other cheek. Jesus pulled out a whip and whooped some people one time. There's a proper time to whoop somebody, and there's a proper time not. And whooping somebody for justice and for righteousness or for vindication for someone else, that's all. Self-defense is always okay. But beating on somebody because they disagree with you, turning the other cheek had to do with it was an insult that you were a heretic. Right? So it'd be the same thing as me saying something about a Republican or a Democrat and whoever's on the other side of that. What? Well, you don't even bother. And now we're all fighting and nobody's turning the other cheek. And it's all this nonsense. And last time I checked, we serve Jesus, King Jesus. Right? Which means even whatever side I feel like my conscience is leading me to sit on, whatever side that is, I still need to behave like a Christian. Are you with me? That's just free, right? So here's the thing. It's always just this little thought, this little idea, this little suggestion. And we have to be intentional about examining. No one just slips and falls into sin. Now I might slip off of this edge, but I gotta walk up to the edge. Right? Now this is thank you, Lord, I will. This is where the Pharisees got it wrong. What the Pharisees did, this is what legalism does. Remember, I said that there are guardrails last week. There are guardrails on the road to life. Grace keeps us from the ditch of legalism. Because what legalism tries to do is legalism says, well, you can fall off that edge. So what we're going to do is we're going to stay way away from the edge so that there's no chance of me falling off of there. But then I don't get any of the good stuff here, right? Because I can't control myself not to walk off the edge, right? So legalism puts a gate right here, right? Christianity puts the gate right here. I won't walk off the edge. I walk right here. I got balance, right? I need to be here, so I'm here. But there ain't no way I'm jumping off. There ain't no way I'm slipping off. Why? Because my governor is here. I don't need a fence. I don't need a fence. My fence is here. It's here. Are you with me? So it's about God creating in you to be the person that he created and redeemed you to be, the kind of person that can, like Josh was saying earlier today, God won't let you be tempted beyond what you can manage. You can't say, oh, I just can't help myself. That's not what the Bible says. You've got that wrong somewhere. Because the Bible says he will not allow you to be overcome by your temptation. So some point along that line, this battle is being lost. And so what we have to do is rewind and figure out, how am I losing this battle? Reorient my life under the comfort and the conviction of the Word of God. Right? A lot of people just want to run to the Bible for comfort, and there's plenty of it there. I don't know about you. I don't want to run to the Bible only for comfort when I've messed up. I want to run to the Bible for conviction so that I stop messing up, and I'm holding it over my head shouting victory because I've overcome. Are you with me? So you have to examine every thought and bring it into captivity and obedience. And that's how you win, by the way. That's how you win. If you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, watch this. It's very clear. We just don't, we don't ever put handles on the truth for people, so they don't know. Like the first time something pops into your head and you know you shouldn't be even thinking about it, you say no. And you replace that thought with what the Bible says. You quench it. You quench it. I'll show it to you. Watch this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. One of my biggest problems, if I'm not careful, and I know I'm not the only one here, I'm just going to be honest because I don't care. I can get on reels and spend way, way too much time looking at these reels, having fun at nighttime when it's quiet, right? And then 2 days later, I hear something come out of my mouth. And it didn't come from me. It came from a reel I watched. Are you with me? Oh, we didn't like that, did we? Let me back up. Let me dig into this a little bit. Whatever you feed grows. Right? If you're watching Friends more than you're reading the Word, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Friends. Because whatever you feed grows. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. You have flesh to contend with. Your flesh does not go away. It's like the flower garden. What happens if you walk away from that flower garden? You get it all the way you want to, and you got it right. You've got it set, and you've got it right, but then you walk away from it, and you don't tend to it. What happens? It naturally goes back to the state that it was in before. You have to be diligent about guarding your thought life. You have to be diligent about what you expose yourself to. And you have to be sensitive to yourself enough to know and real with yourself enough to know there are some people, they just can't, they can't expose themselves to certain things because they can't handle it. And you have to be willing to say, to cut things out of your life if you can't handle it. I'll say it again. You have to be willing to cut some things out of your life if you can't handle it. And if you're getting all of your advice about marriage from comedians, it's no wonder your marriage is a joke. Are you with me? If you're getting all your advice from TV shows, those are smarmy little writers up in Hollywood. It's not the stars. It's called amusement for a reason. Listen, yes, I will. Thank you, Lord, but I'm running out of time. So, okay. Two things. Ready, break. two things. Okay, so we have to understand that amusement, when we say amusement, okay, amusement comes from the word muse. Now, the word muse is an ancient Greek word that means to think. I'm about to get you. You're going to hate me for this. Amusement means to cause not to think. How many times do you come home from a hard day of work and instead of going and praying, you go, I'm just going to cut on the TV so that I don't have to think. Gotcha, right? So you shut down your thinking and your faith shield comes down and then all that garbage. You start feeding your flesh. Are you with me? So there should be caution lights, right? I have begun before I, and I'm not saying, listen, I love what Pastor Jacob says. Listen to what I am saying, not what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't watch TV. I'm saying don't use it as a crutch. I'm saying pray in the Spirit on the way home. Reorganize your life, right? Reorient yourself to God in your transitions, right? And then don't push past things. If you're watching something on TV and it bothers you, either skip forward or don't watch it, right? And there are lots of shows. Melissa and I have a long standing. There are just certain things that I won't watch. I will not watch it. Me and Jason were talking about this the other day. I'm not watching it because it's got garbage in it I don't want to see. I found a loophole in that there are certain shows that I'll listen to. Like it's a book, you put your earbud in, you can go about your business or whatever, you can hear the plot and listen to it. But there are even certain things I won't listen to because it's got too much garbage in it. It's just, and I don't want to feed myself that garbage. Are you with me? Because whatever you feed grows. And I don't want my life to reflect some little Hollywood writer's broken life. I want my life to reflect what Jesus has done in me. And I don't want worldly platitudes to be my anchors for how I navigate my life. I want biblical principles to be my anchors for how, right? And so we have to be careful because the world is after, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You kids, they're after you. They want your attention. Why do you think clickbait is a thing? Because you don't even think about it. And every man in here that's ever been on Facebook knows every once in a while, boop, and you got a choice in a moment. No. Right? They're trying to get past your faith shield, trying to get you not to think about it, just to act on it. Are you with me? So here's how you win. You have to take every thought, every idea, and every suggestion, no matter how innocent, no matter how simple, or how casual it appears, it must be investigated, because every thought has a life attached to it. It's either blessing or cursing, life or death. And God said very plainly, I set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. Choose life, that you and your children may live. Are you with me? God sent me here to share this today because it's important. And that's the other thing. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. This is the other thing, too. Some of you are struggling in your relationships. This is more for marriage. I feel like there's some struggle going on in marriage. And it's because, listen, if you love somebody, love doesn't go away. This nonsense about, oh, I fell out of love with them. No. You don't fall into love, you don't fall out of love. Love is a choice. Bible love is a choice. Right? And if you ever did love them and commit to them, that love is still there. But the Bible does say love can grow cold. Jesus said in two places, just like that, oh God, I'm preaching to myself now. Just like that, just like the flower bed, if you walk away from it, if you neglect it, it'll go back to what it was before. Well, you know what? If you're married and you let your love grow cold, it's like, how does a candle burn down? How does it burn out? You walked away from it. You neglected it. Yes. Revelations. Jesus said in Revelation, you have left your first love. You walked away from it. So, of course, you don't have those feelings. Of course, you've got all these other feelings. Well, because you've been feeding the angst and you've been neglecting what you liked about her when you first met her. What you liked about him when you guys used to hang out and talk and chat, right? And the things that you used to think were really charming, now they irritate the bejesus out of you. And I said that on purpose. They irritate the bejesus out of you. And it's because you're being carnal. Ask me how I know. That's me. I'm talking about me. It's me. I know from experience, right? Anybody that's ever been married knows this. Anybody that's ever been in a relationship knows this, right? So you have to think about what you're thinking about. You have to examine every thought, right? And so I want to give you an illustration, and then I'm going to close. Illustration first, and then I'm going to close. Watch this now. The Bible says, well, some of you are struggling, so I can do both. Some of you are, let me do this. Where's Ava? I'm going to use you as an illustration. Come on up here. That way you'll already be up here when I close. So come on up here, and I'm going to need, where's Josh? Josh, oh, you're doing the camera. That's fine. There you go. Jonah, come on up. Liam, come on up. Well, there you go. Come on up, Josh. Okay. So you guys just stand there. All right. So she's struggling with, let's say, Ava is struggling with this idea that she is never going to be quite good enough. That she's never going to be quite good enough. That no matter how bad she tries, she's woof. That's a lie, by the way. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So here's how we handle it. Let's just handle it, right? This is how you handle that. The reason why it keeps popping up is because there's a part of you that believes it, and that's how it makes it through your shield. You've made an agreement with it. And because you believe it, it makes it through your faith shield, even though it's false, because your faith shield is made up of what you believe. So how do we kill that? How do we quench that? Okay? The fuel for a thought or an idea or a suggestion, the fuel is attention. You take away the attention, the thought goes away. How do you take away the attention? You put your attention on something else. So here's how we're going to do that. We're going to quench that thought. We say you've accepted that thought, and then here we have. This is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you future and hope and expectation. And then you have Hebrews. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What can man do for you? Right. And then you have no weapon formed against you will prosper. You're more than a conqueror. Percy, run up here. And then you have, he who began a good work in you will continue it right up until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, developing you and strengthening you. Now, you guys move in. Now, here comes the old thought. You guys don't let me get to her. I can't get in. You see? I've been quenched. She doesn't have to pay any attention to me because her attention is on them, and now that thought has been quenched. And then every time I come back, all she does is blow the whistle, and here they come. She's got people, right? Yeah, let's praise God for it. Now we'll close. You guys can go sit down. We'll close now, Ava. So, do you see what I'm saying? You have to examine every thought. No matter how harmless it seems, you still have to examine it. Right? It can be as harmless as, I'll do it tomorrow. Right? It can be as harmless as, I'll do it tomorrow. How many relational issues have been sparked by, I'll do it tomorrow. But wait, we had a conversation. You said you were going to do it today. You always do this. You come home and you're tired and you don't. Is that right? Instead of, you know what? It's important. I need to make sure I do it. Examine it. Weigh it against what the Bible says a husband should be. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So remember that big list that we read in the top, all of those relationships. It's so pretty to read. Let's go back to the beginning of Ephesians and let's read through that again. Now, with this in mind, let's read through the types of relationships. Now that you know how to do it, you can look at that and go, oh, that's how I do that. Right? Watch, I'll prove it to you. Let's go back. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How do you do that? You examine your thoughts, your ideas, every suggestion that you're given, and what the Bible says about those things. Right? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Do you want things to go well with you? Do you want to live long on the earth? Well, how do you do that? How do you honor your parents in such a way that they pass on to you all the good stuff without any of the bad stuff? Every thought, every idea, every suggestion. Bondservants, we'll say employees, let's call that. Bondservant was basically an employee in those days. Look at this. Verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Well, how do I do that? My boss is mean. You examine every thought, every idea, every suggestion. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I know, I can tell. Are you with me? And even that, like it's a great illustration, right? So intrusive thoughts. You might be trying to focus on me, but you've got other voices that are intrusive. Right? You've got other voices that are intrusive. They're trying to intrude. Right? That's how he works. So you double down. Right? You shut those other voices out. If they're intrusive, you do not listen to them. You do not feed them, because whatever you feed grows. Are you with me? And sometimes, this goes back to what Calvin was saying a few weeks ago. Sometimes the best thing for you to do is get away. Even Jesus had to go off and get alone. Sometimes you got to cut everything off and just go off and get alone with Jesus. Right? Be quiet enough on the inside to hear what he's saying to you. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. And there might be some of you here, and your biggest challenge is, well, I don't hear from God. I never hear. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. So that's a lie. You can hear from God. You just don't know how. So I'm going to call the prayer team up as we close. And I want to give a special invitation after we close today. If you're one of those people that has one of those agreements that's gotten through your faith shield and it just keeps popping up and you struggle with it, maybe it's a self-esteem issue, maybe it's a personal issue or whatever, one of the best ways for you to get over something like that is to bring it out into the light, to get help from others because they're outside of you and they can see things that you can't see. Are you with me? That's why it's important to be a part of the body of Christ. And some of you mama bears out there, you're doing your best to provide and to protect for all your little cubs, but it takes a village. There are lots of lions out there. And they're seeking whom they might devour. And sometimes you've got to circle the wagons with your Christian family, the people that you belong with. You've got to circle the wagons and look out for one another and protect one another and bind together. And ministry happens a lot of times that way, where you will get ministered to from somebody else. So if you're struggling with one of those agreements, I want you to come up and let us pray with you. Bring it out into the open. Anybody ever had a pool in Oklahoma? You cover it in the wintertime, but the water's still in there a little bit, and so it stays covered, and then the springtime comes, and you take the cover off of it, and there's a bunch of mold. You know why? Because ugly things grow in the dark. Ugly things grow in the dark. And sometimes some of those ugly things that you're fighting all by yourself, if you would just open up and let somebody else in and let them minister to you, it'll heal. And you'll feel better and you'll be better. And there are some of you, and I don't know about you guys, I'm thinking about just asking Calvin to teach a series on marriage. I feel like we're due for a series on marriage. Who agrees with me? We need to have a series on marriage. Yeah? I think I might have. I got you on it now. But you're struggling with an agreement, or you're struggling with, you've walked away from a love. You're having trouble with your love life. You need somebody to pray with you. You need somebody to put their finger on it, feel the pulse of it, and give you honest, godly feedback. I'll circle back to what I was saying. I'm taking my time on purpose. Listen, the Bible does say in Peter's, it says, in 1 Peter, it says, the enemy, he roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, not in your faith, in the faith, connected to other believers. He's waiting to get you cut away so he can take you out. How does a lion hunt? The Bible is on purpose about this. You guys have watched nature shows, right? Who do they go after? The ones that are alone, the ones that are weak, the ones that are young. Ought we not be more diligent to make sure that we're not alone? That when we're weak, we're around people that can be strong with us and for us. And that it's not just us looking out for our kids. Amen? So I want to invite you, if any of those are you, please don't rush out of here. The food will be there. Stay, receive ministry. Let us pray with you. Let us believe with you. because there's freedom on the other side of that. That it may be well with you. Amen? That's the whole point, that it may be well with you. God loves you. He wants to bless you. Bow your heads. Hallelujah. Father, in this time that we've had together, thank you. Let's do this. You're here, and you've just recognized that your way of thinking is wrong. You know you need to change the way that you think about some of these things. There is a repentance that's required of you. Let's all just do that together. If that's you, raise your hand. Put it right back down. I'm not going to call you out. Yep, all over the place. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk for no reason. I see your hand. I see your hand. So we're gonna make a joint confession, right? The Bible says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is what that means, man. We're just gonna, as a house, receive the word of the Lord today, and we're gonna repent as a body. The first step towards revival is repentance. And if you need revival in your life, if you need reviving in your relationships, the first step is repentance. So say it out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I need Jesus. I declare, Jesus, you are my King. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I make a new decision to guard my thoughts, to yield to your word, and to obey it. Help me to recognize the wiles of the devil. Help me to recognize the influence of the world, and help me to recognize my flesh when it rears its ugly head. Thank you, Jesus, that you save me, that you change me. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up on your feet. Let's say it all out loud together. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Say it with me. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. You make the choice. He makes the change. Everybody say it again. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's praise God for it. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, making you look just like him, and give you peace. Peace in your mind, peace in your heart. Peace in your family. Peace in your life. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Praise him one more time. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen, guys, we love you. If you need prayer, please let us minister to you. We're believing with you and we're believing for you. Thank you for worshiping with us today. You guys are dismissed. Don't forget to pick up your kids.